lesson. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello, everyone. It's Pod Vader here with two super fans. Greg, our Steelers super fan. Andrew, our Jets super fan. I almost called you Jets, our Andrew super fan. Andrew,
sometimes I think that would have been interesting. That was the case.
I think that would have been interesting. These are the only super fans you're going to hear from today. We might hear a little bit later on from the Chiefs super fan, Nick, who's been spouting out a lot about the upcoming Chiefs-Broncos matchup. Unfortunately, none of our super fans did any super fan battles this week. All of our super fans are feeling shame. All of them. That includes you, Greg and Andrew, although I appreciate you being here with me today. For shame. For shame to you all. Greg, do you have anything to say in defense of your fellow super fans?
I've been just hoping that, you know, Roethlisberger has Wolverine healing powers. I have no defense other than that.
And I'm just here so I won't get fined.
That is well done. That is well done. Well, folks, as you can tell, I'm very upset with the super fans, and I want more of them. So send me your applications to nextfanup@gmail.com. I know you're listening because I've seen the numbers, but for some reason, you all don't want to email me. Email me, nextfanup@gmail.com. I want questions from you. I want applications from you. I want to talk to you. I really do. You can also tweet at us at NFU Podcast. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast, or just search Next Fan Up on Facebook. You'll see that some of our super fans did write up previews this week, and the question I asked them was, who are your Pro Bowlers? As Pro Bowl voting has begun, my boy Tom Brady is apparently leading the Pro Bowl votes right now. This just in, Tom Brady will not play in the Pro Bowl because he's going to be busy playing in another bowl game. But, you know, it's fun to see the quarterbacks always getting the most votes. What Greg and Andrew and I will do is we're going to bring up guys who maybe aren't getting the votes, but should be, because you still have a few more weeks to get those votes in. So we're going to talk about Pro Bowlers who you should be giving attention to. The other thing I want to bring your attention to, as we're at the midway point, a lot of folks have been doing their mid-season report cards. We did a preseason report card with all the super fans, and you can go back and listen to that show at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup or on iTunes. You can check out our archive. We did a preseason award show. We're not revisiting the mid-season awards because everybody's doing that. But what I will tell you about the mid-season point right now is a very interesting situation here, gentlemen, with our, you know, potential playoff teams. Taking out the conference leaders for the current moment, and the Colts do have a sub-500 record in leading the AFC South, but our AFC wildcards for teams over 500 are the Jets, Steelers, Bills, and Raiders. Now, the Steelers, I think we all thought at the beginning of the year were going to be a playoff team, but I don't know if the Jets, Bills, and Raiders were on that list, Andrew.
I actually did have the Jets making the playoffs. I mean, obviously, people could say that's some sort of bias, but I just thought I look at the AFC before the year, and I didn't see any. The only thing that's really surprised me is how good Cincinnati has been. Other than that, like, it's gone really according to what I thought it would be like. And the Jets, the Raiders, and the Bills all have a shot to sneak into the playoffs. They all have talented rosters. They both obviously have glaring holes, on the Jets being on the offensive line, the Bills being in. I mean, the quarterbacks played better for the Bills, but I don't know how much I trust Taylor. And Oakland's got probably the worst secondary in the league. But you could mask over those holes in a weak AFC and sneak into the playoffs. And if I had to pick two teams right now, it would still be the Jets and Steelers. The Steelers, I don't know what to tell you guys, Steeler fans, Greg. It just seems that every week someone goes down. But if Roethlisberger, you guys just keep your head above water until Roethlisberger gets back, I still see you guys making the playoffs.
I agree. It's the year that could have been for the Steelers. It's just they've had injuries at every level. It's just what could have been. What could have been.
So, Andrew, you basically just said
they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, we all know it's the Patriots conference, and that no one's ever going to beat them. And that
I'm glad
it's
you've
a free ride to the Super Bowl. You already said Tom Brady's not playing in the Pro Bowl this year because he's playing in the Super Bowl. It's done. We shouldn't even play the games. Just hang the banner up already. Buy the hats. Do everything because there's it's done. So
I love it. I love that you've accepted this. I'm glad you've accepted this fact. But what I will say though is. And this was a quick conversation that we were having on Slack, and I'd love to investigate this even a little bit more. As we look at those four wildcard teams, Steelers, Bills, Raiders, or the four potential wildcard teams, do we really see any of those teams beating the Patriots, the Bengals, or the Broncos? And again, we're taking the Colts out of it because I would lump the Colts in with those wildcard teams as not real having a real chance of beating one of those three teams.
I don't think it's far-fetched at all. Just pointing out the Jets-Patriots game this year in Foxborough, I know you watched that game, Pod. Either team could have won that game. And you look at 2010 when the Jets came into New England and won that game. The Jets' style of play with that defense, obviously they've been struggling lately due to injuries and just poor tackling in general. But they, at their best, could beat anyone on any given day. Especially in a one-game sample at the playoffs, and anything can happen, which is why I'm building up your confidence so high, Pod, because when the fall inevitably comes, you just won't see it coming, and it'll make it that much sweeter.
Greg?
I do think the Bills, the Jets, and the Steelers could all beat any one of those teams in a one-game playoff. I think the Raiders are a bit of a pretender, and it's mainly because of their defense. I think that the other three teams can do enough defensively, enough offensively to challenge anybody, especially in a cold weather game. So that being said though, I mean, of course those three teams have the records they do because they're good teams. So I wouldn't bet on that, but I can definitely see it happening.
Right. And plus the only team we're really talking about there is the Patriots because as good as Andy Dalton has been this year, he's still Andy Dalton, and we still haven't seen him do it in the playoffs. And then you got Denver and Peyton Manning playing in the cold. You don't know how he's going to respond to that, as good as that defense is. So the question we're really asking is anyone could go into Foxborough and do it. And as I already said, it's done. The Patriots are making the Super Bowl, so we shouldn't even be having this conversation.
Are there any teams that weren't mentioned in that wild card bunch that we can see rising up and making a run? Because we do still have quite a bit of football left to play this year. I would be looking at maybe, and I'm saying maybe with my tongue firmly in cheek, the Chiefs, the Dolphins. Can the Chargers pull themselves out of the hole that they've put themselves in?
I don't see that. I don't see any of those teams you just mentioned. The one team that has been fooling me all year, and if you just look at the point differential, like maybe you can make a case because they're very close to even, the Baltimore Ravens. But they're 2-6, and they're decimated with the skill positions. And I really think it's those four teams. I can't see. I think the Dolphins have packed it in already. They're with their interim coach. They're going to go 6-10. There's no one really here, and the Chiefs. I just can never get on the Alex Smith bandwagon. And without Jamal Charles, they're toast. And then in the AFC South, So really, those teams, the Jets, Bills, Raiders, and Steelers, two of those four teams are going to be the wild cards. I think you could firmly state that.
I do think the one team in the South that could make some noise might be the Houston Texans, because I just can't believe their defense is as bad as it's been playing. And I could see A.J. Watt just throwing the team on his back. And if they can sneak in by winning A.J. Watt, JJ, is it JJ? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like A.J.
But if you can get if Watt could carry that team, I could see and win the division. I could see them making some noise because I do think they could score enough. But that defense has been so bad. But that's the only team I could think of outside of those the four other ones.
I mean, I want to believe in the Texans. And by the way, the little Texan season is over. We won our first three games and never won another game. That's bad coaching. I should be fired. But fortunately, it's Pee Wee football and I can't be fired. But I so want to believe in the Texans. But I have to point to questionable quarterback play. And yeah, what is up with that defense? That defense shouldn't be as bad as it has played. But it has played that bad. And so you kind of have to go by the eyeball test and you kind of have to look at the facts are the facts. And I don't know if the Texans have it in them. Let's quickly talk about the NFC here too. Give some equal time. Again, taking out the current conference leaders, we're looking at NFC wild cards for the Packers and Falcons, which is funny that the Packers dropped by losing the last two games have dropped out of the conference lead and given it to the Minnesota Vikings. And we'll be talking with Christopher Harris about that later on. But we've got the Packers and my boyfriend's the Falcons. And then two games behind those guys are the Rams, Seahawks, and Eagles. And the Eagles are in an interesting position as the Giants are a half game ahead of them in the NFC East. So, a little different situation going on in the NFC. The question I would pose is, do we see, you know, one of those teams maybe even coming out with a conference, with a division title?
Well, I think the Packers are winning that division. I mean, as bad as they've looked the past 2 weeks against those like crazy good defenses in Denver and Carolina, I still believe in them more than I believe in Minnesota. And having said that, I believe in Minnesota more than I believe in Atlanta, and I've been saying that all year. I don't think Minnesota has been that impressive this year either, but the Falcons just scream fraud to me. Like, just watching them play week in and week out, putting up 10 points 1 week, putting up 40 points another week. I just can't see them making the playoffs, especially with a Seattle team that's 4-4 at this point that is going to, in my opinion, I still think they're going to make the playoffs. So one of those two teams, Falcons or Vikings, have to drop off. Maybe even both of them if the Rams keep it up or one of the NFC East teams are able to make a run like the Eagles. I mean, that's the only one I could look at because someone has to win that division.
I agree with you, Andrew. I think the Falcons are a fraud, and I think they've been exposed. I think the NFC is more top heavy than the AFC. I think the division leaders, other than the Vikings, and replace them with the Packers, I think those are the real favorites to make any noise. I don't see any of the wild cards really doing anything.
See, to me, I think we just said that the NFC is a lot more interesting than the AFC, and the AFC is a little bit more top heavy than the NFC. But I mean, we keep not wanting to believe in the Panthers, but maybe have the Panthers now done enough where we're like, oh, this team is for real?
I think so. I mean, they were a playoff team last year. They won a playoff game, and they are playing the best team football, I think, in the league right now. I mean, Cam Newton has no weapons, and he still is putting up points, and their defense is just nasty.
All right. Well, let's go back to the AFC and talk about a big playoff implication matchup on Thursday Night Football between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. The Jets are favored by 2.5 points. Number fire. Still sticking with number fire as I'm still doing pretty well in my pigskin pick'em pool. Not necessarily picking winners, but picking against the spread. Number fire has the Jets 55.9% likelihood to cover the 2.5. I have to tend to agree, if only because the Jets are at home. So, Andrew, talk to me about this matchup, the Jets and the Bills.
I'm not thrilled about this matchup this week. Because of many reasons. The Jets are really beat up everywhere on their team. Nick Mangold is coming back this week. He's still got a neck injury. He came back last week, and he left in the middle of the game, so who knows if he's going to stay the whole game. the right guard, Willie Colon, got put on IR yesterday. Chris Ivory isn't 100% healthy. Eric Decker is not 100% healthy. Brandon Marshall's not 100% healthy. Ryan Fitzpatrick has 9 fingers. And on the defensive side of the ball, Cromartie's out, which isn't the worst thing in the world if you're a Jets fan and been watching him every time he's been taking the field this year, because you never know what you're going to get. Or you do know what you're going to get. You're going to get a pick, or you're going to get him biting on a double move for a touchdown. But either way, it's still a loss. Calvin Pryor's not playing. His backup, Deion Bailey, who actually was the number one rated safety on Pro Football Focus last week, is out of this game. The Jets are decimated all over. And in comes Rex Ryan looking for revenge against his former team on national television and playing Ryan Fitzpatrick. So whenever the Jets would play Ryan Fitzpatrick when Rex Ryan was the coach, I always felt confident. I just feel like Rex is able to beat those type of quarterbacks, force them into enough mistakes. Just for context, in 9 games that Ryan Fitzpatrick has played against Rex Ryan defenses, he's had 7 starts and he's come on in relief twice. In those 9 games, he has thrown for less than 6 yards per attempt, and he has a 3-6 record. He does have 12 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, but those are flawed stats, because he's literally thrown over 200 attempts and his yards per attempt is less than 6. So Rex is going to try to force Fitzpatrick into mistakes, and I think that's ultimately going to be the outcome of the game. And on the other side of the ball, the Bills, they have Sammy Watkins back. They have Tyrod Taylor back. They have LeSean McCoy back. Carlos Williams back. It seems like the Bills are getting healthy at the right time while the Jets aren't. And as much as it hurts me to say, I'm actually taking the Bills to win this game 21-17. Wow. Yeah, the Bills need this game more than the Jets need this game. Obviously, the Jets need it, could use it too, because they would put distance between them and the Bills. They would most likely eliminate the Bills from contention if they win this game, at least in my opinion. But I don't know. I just think it's too early for Rex to go out. I think they're going to last a little longer, and the Bills are going to come away with a victory.
Greg, you're 4 games behind Sitko in the Pigskin Pick'em League. By the way, we'll still take you in the league. You can join us at any point. Just go to ESPN.com. Go to the Pigskin Pick'em game. Search Next Fan Up. Sitko is leading with 90 correct picks. Greg is in second with 86. So, Greg, who do you got?
You got to go Jets. I know that the Bills were just beat up just 2 weeks ago. A short week. They just got everyone back last week. I just feel like this is a Thursday night game, heads-up game. I'm taking the home team. We're going Jets.
I'm not going to give you useless stats. I'm actually going to give you something to chew on and something that should make you feel a little bit better, Andrew. From ESPN Stats and Info, the Jets defense has feasted on bad quarterback play this season. All signal callers, save for Derek Carr and Tom Brady, have combined for a 33.2 QBR. Now, Tyrod Taylor is doing surprisingly well in this category. He's the 6th highest QBR in the league at 72.6. But I don't believe in Tyrod Taylor. I just can't. And the Jets are at home, and I like their defense way more than the Bills' offense.
I appreciate that, Pod. I need some type of optimism in my life right now. Hopefully the Jets put on a good show tonight. We're talking about Pro Bowlers in this game. For the Jets, there really isn't anyone that is really putting up a surprising year. If you're gonna
Chris Ivory
take a Pro Bowl, yeah, I wouldn't call that surprising. And he's been brutal the last 3 weeks. Like he has over 50 carries. You know, he has a little bit over 80 yards. That's how he's played the last 3 weeks. But like Muhammad Wilkerson is the obvious choice on this team. But if you're going for a surprise choice, I think you go Eric Decker. The guy has a touchdown in every single game he's played this year. He gets a lot of crap for not being a number one type wide receiver, and that's fine. He doesn't need to be the number one guy. As a number two, I'd take him over basically anyone in the league. the way he's converted to running most of his routes out of the slot this year. I believe he's run a little bit over 66% of his routes in the slot. And Pod, you saw when they were facing the Patriots, they couldn't cover him when he was lined up in the slot. No. And not every team that's played in this year has had issues with that. So if I had to pick one surprise guy, I'd go with Decker.
I like that pick. I like it a lot. And on the Bills side, I don't know. I don't know if the Bills have a legit Pro Bowler or not.
They do. And it's actually a very surprising one. Richie Incognito is the highest rated guard according to Pro Football Focus's ratings. And just if you look at that line, they played very well this year besides two positions. They're Richie Incognito at left guard and Cordy Glenn at left tackle have both been studs, and Eric Wood at center has been very good. However, the right side of that line with Shontrell Henderson at right tackle and John Miller at right guard have been getting destroyed all year. So just getting back to this game, if the Jets are going to win this game, guys, the left end where Muhammad Wilkerson usually lines up, that's going to be the matchup to watch. If they could get pressure off that edge, then maybe they could force Taylor into mistakes. But the problem is you want to keep Taylor in the pocket. You don't want him moving around. So maybe you leave a spy like DeMario Davis in the middle of the field, and then you try to get pressure from the right side off those two really below-average offensive linemen the Bills got going.
All right, the next game up is the Bears and the Rams. They are at the Rams. You know, we mentioned the Rams are possible playoff team here and playing well as of late. Greg, who do you like in this one?
I like the Rams. I think they're the better team. And since they're at 500, I think they'll win to stay at 5-4. I like to also throw in real quick, my Pro Bowl pick for the Rams would be my surprise guy would be Austin. I think he's done just enough this year as he might get a look as like a return man or something for the Pro Bowl.
Well, even if he didn't get a look at as a return man, I plan on talking about this with Christopher Harris a little bit later, but Tavon Austin is actually in a large tie as one of the top scoring non-kickers in the league right now. He's tied with Larry Fitzgerald, Julian Edelman, Gronk, Chris Ivory, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham Jr. That is a little bit of a surprise.
I mean, they spent a top 10 pick on him. You hope they'd get him the ball. Their whole offense is hand the ball to Gurley and gadget plays with Tavon Austin. And with that defense, it's worked a bit. But, again, I can't see them going too far with the whole league knowing what they're doing on offense.
So who do you got in this one, Andrew?
I'm going with the Rams. I think their defense is going to force, as well as Cutler has played this year, I think their defense is something else, and Aaron Donald's going to get constant pressure on Cutler. And that's why I'm taking the Rams. I just can't trust Jay Cutler. And obviously I don't trust Nick Foles, but I trust Todd Gurley, and I could see Gurley running wild all over this defense. And just since we're picking Pro Bowlers, well, Greg picked Tavon Austin for the Rams. For the Bears, the clear cut choice is Pernell McPhee. Pernell McPhee has 5 sacks on the year, along with 32 quarterback hurries and 10 quarterback hits. He has been one, if not the best, free agent signings this offseason, and is one of the few bright spots on this Bears team.
I like it. That's some good stuff right there. Number Fire has St. Louis -7 as a 55.1% likelihood. I do not like that Number Fire. I do not. Not at all. But I do like the Rams to win at home over the Bears. I just think a touchdown is asking for a little too much out of the Rams at this point of their young career, so to speak. By the way, Jeff Fisher and the Rams getting a lot of flack for playing dirty. This is not the first time we've had this issue with a Jeff Fisher team, or even more precise, a Greg Williams as defensive coordinator team. Is it justified, Andrew?
I mean, I'm not on the field, so I can't really make these accusations, but it seems to me like where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think, I know that you're, that's a cliche, and I know that that's something you're really familiar with, Pod, with your shady ass team.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I tend to believe these type of things because I don't think these guys just come out and say these things out of the blue. Like these are tough guys playing this game. As we see with all these injuries happening, these are modern day gladiators that we're watching every Sunday. So I don't think they're going to be coming out and saying stuff that isn't true when it comes to guys not playing the game the right way. So if I had to go one way or the other, I'd say, yeah, Jeff Fisher has been doing some shady stuff on telling his team to do some shady stuff on the field. But again, there's really no proof to that. That's your
Greg, how do you feel about it?
With as a team that had a quarterback hurt by the Rams this year, I do not think they're dirty. I think they just start playing to the whistle, and I think they get a little over. And I think just by the nature of the NFL anymore, if you get hurt, if you hurt someone, you're automatically dirty. But I do not think the Rams are dirty.
I haven't seen enough of the Rams to make an opinion on that one way or the other. I just know that, you know, Fisher doesn't have the best reputation amongst certain players, and Greg Williams obviously doesn't. And, you know, Andrew says where there's smoke, there's fire. It's something to watch for sure. And I think the NFL, if they are truly in the players' best interest, are going to be watching them a little bit more closely going down the road here as well. The Steelers, Greg, are hosting the Cleveland Browns. You had mentioned at the top you're hoping for Ben Roethlisberger to have superhuman healing powers, but he's not playing in this game, right?
Well, he's not going to. The big news in Pittsburgh is that he's walking around with a slight limp, which is huge news, meaning he'll be ready after the bye. But this is going to be Landry Jones that's going to play quarterback. And I feel good about this game. I'm going to pick the Steelers, but they are running around with the stat that the Browns have not won since like 2002 in Pittsburgh or something, which makes me, I hate those stats. It's like telling the, you know, the batter who hasn't gotten out all season that he's going to strike out now. So that's just, the jinx is in. Yeah. So that's my recap for the game, is that Landry Jones and the jinx is in.
Andrew, what do you got for this one?
Yeah, I'm going Pittsburgh, but I'm worried about it. When Landry Jones first came in for relief, when Roethlisberger hurt himself the first time, he came back and won the game. I believe they were facing, I think it was Arizona. They won that game when Landry Jones came in. The next week, they were playing Kansas City, and I picked the Chiefs to win that game because I felt that it's a lot different when a team has a week to prepare for a quarterback as opposed to when a guy just comes in the middle of the game. So the Browns have a week to prepare for Landry Jones, but I just don't think their defense is what Kansas City's is. So I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh here. And since we're still going Pro Bowlers, I mean, Greg didn't give one for his team, but I'm going to give one for his team that I think is a really big surprise. What is going on with D'Angelo Williams? Because is it just the offense? Because
you took my sleeper. You took my sleeper there, Andrew.
Yeah, is that who you were going to pick? Because yep. Like I don't know what's going on, because in Carolina it seemed like he was slowing down. He didn't look explosive. He looked like Jonathan Stewart was the better back. And now they just stick him into this offense, and the guy is like 80% of what Le'Veon Bell is, and Le'Veon Bell is by far the best running back in football. I mean, besides Gurley, I mean, you can make that argument, but I'd still take Bell over Gurley. All of a sudden, this guy is a stud, and I don't understand it.
I think it has all to do with the offense. The offensive line, I think, is much improved over previous years. I think the threat of Bryant and Brown out there makes it easier on him. And, I mean, I think he is a talented guy, and he hasn't had in his three starts this year, he's averaging 125 yards. And that's pretty huge. And I think he will make the Pro Bowl only because of how many running backs have already gone down, especially in the AFC. He's been fantastic. He's my vote for MVP at the moment, if I'm projecting for the rest of the season.
You mean for your team, not the league MVP?
No, for my team. Like the Steeler only MVP.
Right. And as for the Browns for a Pro Bowl guy, there really isn't anyone that surprising except for Gary Barnage. So, I mean, I'm sure fantasy owners know who that guy is, but he's been putting up stats all over the place. It just seems like he's in the end zone every week. So that's the guy I would go for Cleveland. But besides him, no one really is playing very well that you didn't think was going to play well. Like Joe Thomas is still Joe Thomas.
How about Travis Benjamin? Can you make an argument for him? I mean, he hasn't played well as of late.
Exactly. It seems like he's more of a boom or bust type guy, that he's going to hit the big play. And if he doesn't hit the big play, he's not going to do much else.
Cleveland doesn't have much of a pass rush. They have the worst rush defense. I'm going to take the Steelers here, and I'm going to feel comfortable about it. Now, this is a game that is very interesting. The Dallas Cowboys are at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are giving 1.5 points. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about this one, Andrew.
I don't know what's going on with Dallas. I mean, I do know what's going on with Dallas, that they're injured, and that you can't trust them. We can't trust them with Matt Castle playing quarterback, even though Castle had a good game last week. But I really don't feel strongly either way about this game. I'll probably make a more definitive pick on Sunday. But if I had to pick, this game's in Tampa, right?
Yes,
correct.
This game is in Tampa. I think Tampa Bay is going to pull out this game. I like the way Jameis has been playing, and I think he's going to keep it up. I don't think Dallas's defense is going to – actually, you know what? I'm actually going to switch my pick right now just because I talked myself out of it. I told you. I didn't feel strongly either way because I didn't really go through the matchups in my head, but it just happened. I don't know how Tampa is going to really block that Dallas defensive line. Like, Greg Hardy's on a mission. No matter what you think about him off the field, I mean, I think we all feel the same way. But on the field, that guy's a freak. And Donovan Smith, the rookie left tackle out of Penn State for Tampa, has had a rough year. And Dallas has other guys on that defensive line, like Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, Tyrone Crawford. They have guys who could get in the backfield. And I think that's going to end up being a difference in this game. Maybe Jameis makes a mistake or two that he hasn't made over the past couple of weeks. So I'm going to go with Dallas. But I've gone with Dallas all year and hasn't really gotten me so far.
Hardy can't be suspended again, right? That would be essentially double jeopardy. Yeah, which is really a shame because, you know, honestly, I don't know how anyone can. Ray Rice is no longer playing in the league, and you can say that maybe Ray Rice was at the end of his career anyway, but I don't think he really was. But there's no reason why Greg Hardy should still be playing and Ray Rice isn't. And that's sort of where I stand with the Greg Hardy thing. And I'm going to leave it at that and try and focus more on the football. Greg, you can have your shots at Hardy if you'd like. Go right ahead.
I'll skip. I don't think there's anything you can say about them. I'm taking the home team, the Bucks. Two bad football teams. I'll just take the one that's at home.
I love the strategy, and it's working for you. And I'm not stealing it, but NumberFire does say Tampa Bay -1 is a 57.5% likelihood. I'm going to take Tampa, and while it shouldn't be a surprise, I think is a little bit of a surprise. I can't call it an upset special, though, because they're favorite. The Packers and the Lions, and on this one... Oh, by the way, we skipped Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, I was about to say that. The Pro Bowlers for Tampa, I think it's not even close. It's Doug Martin. Doug Martin has had a great year with a very shoddy offensive line. He's made a lot of guys miss, and he looks like a different guy this year. For Dallas, it doesn't seem like there's really anyone that's been so surprising. Jeremy Mincy has played well. No, he doesn't have any sacks this year. That's a guy I would look at. And on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, their offensive line, everyone on their offensive line has played amazing. I mean, Darren McFadden hasn't played at a Pro Bowl level, but he's also been better than expected.
I would agree wholeheartedly with everything you said. All right. Packers at the Lions. I think from a game standpoint, I'm locking it.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
That's right. And I think the Green Bay Packers going back to home, you mentioned that stat about the Steelers haven't lost to the Browns since 2002. I think the Packers haven't lost to the Detroit Lions since the 1800s. So I'm going to take the Packers at home and I'm locking it in. As a matter, here it is. It is December 15th, 1991. The last time the Lions won a road game against the Packers. Give me Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. Greg?
Yeah, I agree. There's not much to say about it. It's Green Bay versus a horrible team. So,
yeah.
Andrew?
I mean, I think we agree across the board here that there's really nothing else to say about this game. Detroit's one of the worst teams in football. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. So I'm going Green Bay. As for Pro Bowlers, on Green Bay's side, on the defensive side, Mike Daniels has had a very good year with 4 sacks, 23 quarterback pressures. And for Detroit, there's really no one too surprising except for the Ziggy Ansah, the 5th overall pick a couple years ago, has come on this year. So I guess that's a little ray of hope that Detroit Lion fans have, but that's a whole project that they got to go redo this offseason. That whole roster just seems outdated to me. And they don't have.
Here's a better question. Here's a better question in terms of the Lions. Calvin Johnson, does he make the Pro Bowl?
No.
I mean, if you're going to talk about, I can't really think about it, like go through every other receiver in the NFC, but just on his standards, he hasn't had a Calvin Johnson type year yet. But I think he's going to step up. I honestly do think he's going to step up in the second half just to show the league that he's still alive and that he's still Calvin Johnson. And maybe he gets traded this offseason because that contract is a very onerous one for a new GM to come into if you're looking for the Detroit Lions job. Maybe you trade Calvin, get a pick, free up some cap space. So maybe Calvin wants to raise his value around the league.
The Panthers are at the Tennessee Titans, and while the Titans have done a good job in surprising at least twice with two surprising wins, I don't see them being able to surprise the undefeated Carolina Panthers. The Panthers will remain undefeated. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Carolina, mostly because I think Marcus Mariota, as much as I like him, I don't think he's really seen the defense like Carolina's yet. I think Carolina's going to bear down on those short routes that he likes to throw, and there's going to be a turnover or two, and Carolina's going to end up taking advantage of that. And I just really like the way Cam Newton's playing right now, too. I don't think Tennessee's defense is anything special, so they're not going to make enough plays on that end of the ball to make up for what they're going to give Carolina on that side of the ball.
Greg?
Carolina's going to score 50. I just see pick six after pick six coming. So.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy. We got the Dolphins and the Eagles. I just don't get how the Eagles are favored by 6.5 here. And as a matter of fact, I would probably go out on a limb and say the Dolphins could win, but I don't know. Last week didn't show me a lot. I don't like the Eagles by 6.5. But I'm going to take the Eagles to win. Greg?
Eagles go, Eagles.
Andrew?
I think the Eagles' defensive front is going to give Miami's guards, who are two of the worst in the league's issues. And I, watching that Miami offense, it's very Chiefs-like in that they throw the ball 2 yards down the field every play. And so that's what I would go. I'm going to go Philadelphia.
Quick surprise Pro Bowlers on these teams?
For Miami, a guy that I would look at would maybe be Rashad Jones. I mean, he's been very good for a long time, but yes, he's having even having a better year. And for Philadelphia, they have a lot of guys to choose from on that defense, but a guy like Benny Logan, who's getting penetration, it seems, every play. Him and Fletcher Cox are wreaking havoc in backfields all over the league. So I'm going to go with him. And Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins has been great at safety.
Now, I don't know what Vegas knows about this next game, but the Saints are at the Redskins, and the Redskins are plus half a point. And NumberFire actually has this game as a 50.1% likelihood Redskins plus one. I don't like that at all. It makes me a little frightened. I'm going to take the Saints, but I don't feel very confident about this now, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I don't feel either way about, strongly either way about this game either. Both teams to me have huge issues, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's Drew Brees versus Kirk Cousins, and I still think Kirk Cousins is one of the worst quarterbacks in football. So give me the Saints. They're going to, after last week's heartbreaking loss, maybe they try and get to 500, and they're still in the conversation.
Greg?
Give me the Redskins because of Rob Ryan.
Well, that's an interesting choice. but I get what you're saying. Quick surprise Pro Bowlers, Andrew.
For the Saints, I think a guy Pod is very familiar with, Ben Watson. It seems the way Ben Watson has played this year, it sort of puts into question how good Jimmy Graham actually is. I still think Jimmy Graham is a good football player, but to see Ben Watson do what he's doing in this offense at a tight end position, it sort of raises some eyebrows. And for Washington, there's really nobody on that team. Like, it sucks to say that, but I mean, not really, because I feel like Dan Snyder sort of deserves it. But Trent Williams, stud. That's really all you can say about it. But besides that, off the top of my head, I really can't think of someone who's played at a Pro Bowl level.
All right, we lost Greg. Greg had to run. Seems like we all have to run. But Andrew, you're still here with me. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Baltimore Ravens. I would say very little. I still want to believe in Jacksonville. I don't believe in Baltimore, and I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars as my upset special this week.
These are two teams that just seem to always be in it at the end and then just blow it. So I'm going to take the Ravens just because they've been fooling me all year, and I've been riding them all year. I mean, to hell, but like, still riding them. And like, I just think they're going to come out with a victory against Jacksonville. As for surprise Pro Bowlers, for Baltimore, Brandon Williams has been the best nose tackle in football this year, bar none. He's rushing the passer well, and he's number one in rush defense, according to Pro Football Focus's ratings. As for Jacksonville, there hasn't been that much of a surprise. I mean, at least for me, I loved Allen Robinson coming into this year, but if you didn't think Allen Robinson was going to play well, then you were wrong. So he's the Pro Bowler guy. So
argument for Blake Bortles? Blake Bortles as a Pro Bowler?
See, I think Bortles, he has played well and he's definitely improved, but I think a lot of his production comes from when his team is down and that the teams are playing a soft shell and that allows guys like Hearns and Robinson to make plays. I don't think Bortles has been Pro Bowl level, especially in the AFC with guys like Brady and Dalton playing well.
All right, moving on to the 4 o'clock games. We have the Vikings at the Raiders. We've been talking about these two teams, the surprises in both conferences. The Vikings are on the road though. And literally for just that reason, I'm going to take the Raiders because they are at home. I'm pulling the Greg here, Andrew.
Well, I'm not sure what Teddy Bridgewater's status is for this game, but if he plays, I want to go with Minnesota just because what Greg mentioned before about Oakland's defense, their secondary is atrocious. And I think that Minnesota has the weapons in Stephon Diggs and Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson. They have enough guys to come and make plays. And, of course, with Peterson running the ball. So I'm going to go with Minnesota. I know that's not something that you're willing to do, but you've been pretty wrong about Minnesota all year. So why
that's
not
true.
Keep continuing that? As for surprise Pro Bowlers, for Oakland, Gabe Jackson, who is a second-year guard out of Mississippi State, has been exceptional this year, has not allowed a single quarterback sack and has only allowed two quarterback hits this entire year while also playing very well in the run game. As for Minnesota, we mentioned Stephon Diggs, how well he's played, but he hasn't even played so much this year. I mentioned before for Baltimore how Brandon Williams has been the best nose tackle in football. I might have forgot about somebody because Linval Joseph for Minnesota has played great this year. The former New York Giant who was brought over in free agency a couple of years ago. He's playing very well in the run game and in the pass game, and he's wreaking havoc in the backfield. So I'd go with Linval Joseph for Minnesota. But again, I'm taking the Vikings in this game, and hopefully they do win because I don't see the Jets winning tonight.
By the way, for the Raiders, a couple of other potential Pro Bowlers. I think Charles Woodson is a lock at this point for the Pro Bowl, and I think that's a little bit of a surprise for an old man. Derek Carr, I think, could be a potential Pro Bowler, especially after all the other quarterbacks ahead of him end up not playing in the Pro Bowl. And Latavius Murray as a running back, I think, could end up in the Pro Bowl here. For the Raiders,
basically their whole offense. and what's exciting about that, if you're a Raiders fan, is that all these guys are young. Amari Cooper is young. Yeah. Tavis Murray is young. Derek Carr is young. Gabe Jackson is young. I mean, Michael Crabtree, he's had a great year too. I mean, he's not like the age those guys are, but he's not 35 either. So very good things for Oakland on the horizon. They just need to find some talent in their secondary because right now they're very barren there. DJ Hayden, it took the first round pick a couple of years back, hasn't played so great. And Charles Woodson, no matter how well he's played this year, he just can't possibly keep this up. Or maybe he can. I don't know. But like it doesn't seem to me that's a viable thing that they should be counting on year after year.
By the way, I should mention, I think this is the game of the week, Vikings-Raiders. And that's not something I would have predicted, I would have said at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, we are now joined by the Chiefs superfan, Nick, who's here to help us break down the Chiefs-Broncos game. And Nick, you've been talking some loud smack in the Slack group about this game. Why do you feel so confident about the Chiefs this week?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the matchup directly, it doesn't look like the Chiefs really have a chance in this thing. I mean, they are the 3-5 team going on the road against the 7-1 team. But, you know, and I can't really make a rational case for why the Chiefs are overall a better team than the Broncos, but I have a really good feeling about this game, and I think there's a lot of things you can point out that are going in the Chiefs' favor. I mean, for one, you basically have to compare everything to what happened when these two Chiefs met in week two. Basically, the Chiefs had the game won, but they threw it away with five turnovers, narrowly lost that game. And what's changed since then? Well, Jamaal Charles is out, but the Chiefs have actually been running the ball better without him. And that's mostly because I think the coaching staff has realized that this offensive line, while it's been putrid against the pass, is actually very good against the run. Well, last time I checked PFF stats, it was ranked 31st in pass blocking, but 7th. In run blocking. And in fact, our Kendrick West over the last two games gone 42 carries for 207 yards, almost 5 yards a carry, and it's 4.9 yards per carry. So now that they can get that going, they actually have a real offense. And, you know, and a lot of things that are a bit shaky on this offense at the beginning of the season are starting to step up. All the wide receivers that no one's ever heard of that are not named Jeremy Macklin, the Chiefs have actually put up some good production in the last few weeks. But the most important thing is that Andy Reid is 14-2 coming out of the bye. He basically never loses coming out of the bye. And right now the Broncos are coming back home from a loss, and they're not going to have probably their best overall edge rusher. I don't know. DeMarcus Ware, either way, is still going to be injured for the game. Keep to lead is going to be out on a suspension after poking some dude in an eye. Feels like the sort of letdown loss that the Broncos are going to have. They've eked out a lot of really close games so far this year where Manning got away with throwing some rainbows that somehow never got intercepted. And, you know, and the things have held up just well enough to sneak away from a lot of these contests. But now they're starting to lose games. And for the Chiefs, it's basically a must-win game for them if they want to stay alive in the playoff conversation. The 3-5, they can, you know, get up to 4-5, and then they have a really easy stretch of their schedule. So they have to know that this is this is really where they have to make their stand if they're going to save this season. And they've had 2 weeks to think about it.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot at the beginning of the show about the Chiefs needing to be to get back into the playoff conversation. A win over the Broncos would go a huge way. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think there's some flawed logic for Nick there. Just that the part about, yeah, the Chiefs were in the game, but they just fumbled it away a bunch of times. Peyton Manning threw like two pick sixes that game, if I remember, and like just was playing awful. And so like the Broncos made some mistakes there too. And I just don't think the Broncos, coming off a loss last week, are going to come back home versus Alex Smith, who you know what he's going to do already. Again, this is just, it's the same thing every week. He's not going to throw the ball down the field. Maybe it's changed a little. I haven't watched as many Chiefs games as Nick has this year, but it just doesn't seem like he's changed his game much. And I just think Denver is going to take advantage of that again.
Well, Alex Smith is on track for the most pass yards of any season in his career. Granted, that's not, you know, saying a whole lot. That's still not like, he's not going to be throwing for 5,000 yards this season, but he has changed it up somewhat. I mean, he's sort of been forced to, because, you know, without Jamaal Charles and some of these easy short passes that sort of the bread and butter of the offense, he's been forced to open up. And now that, you know, Kelce gets open on almost every play, everybody else other than Macklin, they pretty much have to scheme open. And you'll see there's a lot of these, a lot of the play design is really focused on just trying to create, you know, a scheme where one of those other non-Macklins, as I call them, gets open. But, you know, it's been working. This will obviously be the toughest team they've faced the last few weeks, but they know they got to win it, so.
Number Fire has Denver -5.5 as a 40.5% likelihood. They actually like Kansas City +5.5 a lot more. I don't like Kansas City in this game. I like Denver at home. And Greg, I'm going to guess you like Denver at home too.
Absolutely.
And Andrew?
I'm going Denver, and I honestly don't think it's that close. And if we're going for Pro Bowlers, just surprise Pro Bowlers, for Kansas City, Jay Howard has had a good year this year. He's the nose tackle on Kansas City, who, it's funny because Dontari Poe was supposed to be that guy, and he hasn't been himself this year. And for Denver, there isn't really that much a surprise, but I guess you could say Shaq Barrett, who's come in for DeMarcus Ware, and Shane Ray, who have both been out. He has 4 sacks on the year, so that's a guy who's played very well so far this year, who you might not have heard of.
Nick, who do you have for a surprise Pro Bowler on the Chiefs?
For a surprise one, Jay Howard's actually a pretty good name for that. I mean, I would actually, you know, maybe even go with the other defense. Then Alan Bailey's also stepped up big time, and he's not a real well-known name. I actually, and it's for that reason, I didn't put him on my own list for Pro Bowlers, but I just don't think, you know, that anyone in the league knows who Jay Howard and Alan Bailey are, even if they actually have been the best defensive line that we've had this year. In terms of a surprise, I think I'd go with, you know, possibly Tamba Hali, who's been out of it for a while. He's actually had a really resurgent season, and in a lot of ways has been in a lot of these games recently, which has been a huge surprise considering he was viewed as being a potential cap casualty last year.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. We thank Nick for joining us there, breaking down the Chiefs and the Broncos. And you noticed Greg was in there. So you can tell that we've recorded a little bit out of order today. Greg wanted on record that he's taking the Patriots. I'm clearly taking the Patriots. I do not feel comfortable about this, obviously, when an undefeated New England Patriots team goes up against the stinking New York Giants, and the fact that Belichick is 1-5 in his career against his former defensive mate with the Giants coaching staff, Tom Coughlin. I do not feel comfortable about this game, but ultimately I don't see the Patriots losing to the Giants.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to be one of those games where the Patriots are up 17 points, and then Eli gets some garbage points. The Giants don't have the pass rush to rush for and get after guys, especially with losing Jonathan Hankins for the year. They don't have the guys to come after Brady. And, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul didn't look like he was himself. I mean, who would be after what happened to him? But I think it's the Patriots, and I don't think it's close. Who would you take as a surprise Pro Bowler for a New England pod?
I would say it's tough to call Julian Edelman a surprise, but to call Julian Edelman a Pro Bowler, I think, is a little bit of a surprise. And so I would say him. I probably would have had Deion Lewis on that list, but since he's torn his ACL and is out for the year, there's obviously no way that he could play in the Pro Bowl. I would also maybe, I mean, I would maybe take one of those offensive linemen, only because they can play any of the five positions. You know, one guy goes down, the next guy steps up, and it's been pretty impressive. Sebastian Vollmer would be the strongest one out of that group.
Well, just for context, I mean, first of all, before we even say this, all this is irrelevant because the Patriots aren't playing in the Pro Bowl. We've already established this.
Right.
But when we're talking about an offensive lineman, is the only one with a positive grade on Pro Football Focus is Josh Klein, and they actually just signed him to a contract extension this year. So
they did.
It's Brady's just getting rid of the ball so quickly that he's making up for the lack of talent on his offensive line. Eventually, you have to feel like teams are going to bear down on those short routes or that the referees are going to call those pick plays. I saw last week that the referees are just not even just the Patriots game, just in every game, they're really looking out for those pick plays now. So it would not surprise me if the numbers start going down for the Patriots offense. As for a surprise Pro Bowler on the Giants side, there's not really anyone that I look at that is such a shock to me. The one thing I would look at is Justin Pugh. He was the former first-round pick out of Syracuse, who they had at tackle last year, but they moved inside this year, and he's been great. Same thing with Weston Richburg, who played guard last year, and they moved to center. So their interior offensive line is stacked, along with Jeff Schwartz. It's their tackles in Marshall Newhouse and the rookie offensive tackle Eric Flowers out of Miami, who have struggled this year, that's been the issue on that line. They were hoping to get Will Beatty back, who was originally supposed to be the left tackle this year, but he tore his pec in training camp, so he was going to come back in the middle of the year. But then today it was reported that he got put on IR, so they're going to have to deal with those two tackles the rest of the year, and I think that's ultimately going to be their downfall. I don't think they're going to win that division. If Dallas was healthy, I'd choose them. But unfortunately now, as much as it hurts me to say it, I think Sitko's Eagles are going to come out and win that division. So congrats, Mark. Your team is amazing. No one's ever going to beat them. You're going all the way to the Super Bowl.
The buttering up of the two hosts of the show has been outstanding, Andrew. I thoroughly appreciate it.
There's absolutely no sarcasm in my voice. So like I'm being genuine right now. Everything I'm saying, I 100% mean Patriots, Eagles, Super Bowl, and it's gonna, and they're gonna give both teams the trophy. That's what's gonna happen.
The Sunday night game is the Cardinals and the Seahawks. This should actually be another great game, and probably is the true game of the week. But listen, you know, you don't often get a chance to say the Vikings and the Raiders are the game of the week. So I'm going to still stick with that as my true choice for game of the week. But it's the Cardinals and the Seahawks. I would suspect a little bit of a bloodbath in this one. Man, it's tough to pick against the Seahawks at home. I don't know. What do you think, Andrew?
These are two of the best teams in football. I've been on Seattle's bandwagon no matter how much people freaked out at the beginning of the year. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I think, again, the home field, I think, is what comes out and decides this game. I think that they're going to end up winning this game. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a great game. I mean, I hope it is. So I'm going with Arizona. Going with Seattle. Carson Palmer him and Brady have been the two best quarterbacks in football this year, which is a crazy thing to say, considering watching Carson Palmer play quarterback for Oakland a couple years ago. People thought he was done. You throw him into Bruce Arians' system, and all of a sudden he's one of the two best quarterbacks in football. Pro Football Focus actually had him as his MVP, as their MVP so far this year. It was between him and Brady. They took Carson Palmer, which I'm not going to argue with. He's been that good. And since we're going with surprise Pro Bowlers, he would be my choice for Arizona. He's been that solid all year. He hasn't been making mistakes. He's been hitting John Brown, Michael Floyd, and Larry Fitzgerald's renaissance year. So the whole thing is working in Arizona. As for Seattle on their surprise Pro Bowl, there's really, again, a lot of these teams, there aren't anyone who's really like been surprising. I mean, Cliff Averill's having a great year, but he's a guy that people have most likely heard of. So as a surprise, he's really the guy that I'd go with would be Averill, because there's really no one else who's having a great year that you would think wouldn't.
I want to take the Cardinals. I really do. Man, both teams coming off the bye. The Seahawks are at home. They've won four of their past five against the Cardinals. Bruce Arians is only 1-3 versus the Seahawks. I already made my upset special. Number fire is not helping. They literally have 45.9% likelihood on the Seahawks covering and a 45% likelihood of the Cardinals upsetting. I'm going to go with the Seahawks because they're at home. That's got to be the tiebreaker every single time. Greg's got it right.
Right.
I'm going with the Seahawks at home. Monday Night Football, we have the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals versus the Houston Texans, whom we've all wanted. Well, I didn't say all of us wanted, but I definitely wanted to see the Texans do better this year. It's just not going to happen in this game. And if it's not happening in this game, it's probably not going to happen at all this season. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals, but we have seen some surprises, and I would look at last week's Monday night game as a true example of a surprise. What do you think, Andrew? Bengals, Texans.
The teams the Texans are going to beat are teams that can't protect the passer, because those are the teams that plays to Houston's strength. Guys like Watt and Clowney coming after the quarterback. Unfortunately for Houston, Cincinnati might have the best offensive line in football. They have one bad spot on their line at center with Russell Bodine. I think that's how you pronounce his name, or Bodine. Either way, they have studs in Whitworth and Zeitler, and Andre Smith hasn't played great this year, but he's been decent enough. As for surprise Pro Bowlers, I guess I'll make my pick first, but yeah, I'm going Cincinnati. I think Houston's one of the worst teams in football. Brian Hoyer, one of the worst quarterbacks in football. As for surprise Pro Bowlers on Houston's side, Brandon Brooks has been one of the best guards in football this year. He's a guy that I would look at along with Duane Brown, but he's not really a surprise because he's long been one of the best tackles in football. As for Cincinnati, Geno Atkins, I mean, 2 years ago, this guy was probably one of the top three defensive tackles in the league. And then he got hurt, missed all of last year, got hurt, came back last year, wasn't the same. And people were wondering what's going on. Is he going to be the same this year? He has 9 sacks already on the year. He has 9 sacks for a 4-3 defensive tackle at week 8 at that point in the season. That's an insane number. I hope you guys could do math, because that's 18 sacks for a defensive tackle. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the last time a defensive tackle has had that many sacks in a year. So that's the guy that I'd go with, Geno Atkins for Pro Bowl.
By the way, perception, of course, is 9/10 of reality. But you mentioned Brian Hoyer, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. He's not. In his past 5, he's completed over 61% of his passes, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns to 2 picks. He's right. Actually been surprisingly good from a statistical standpoint.
You could do anything with stats, though, Pod. Like in that game against Miami, when they were down 41-0 before Houston even had a yard, he threw 3 touchdowns and 1 interception in that game. So, he's a guy that at his best,
he's
he'll
a
be
guy.
Average.
He's a guy.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. And like, it's a lot better. It's a lot more truthful a thing to say that he's one of the worst quarterbacks in football than he's a guy that you could actually go somewhere with. So if I want to be off in saying he's one of the worst quarterbacks in football, then so be it. But he is to me, like, I at least watching him, like watching the Texans, I don't know which teams, which offenses like drive me crazier to watch, like bore me to death, would be the Texans and the Chiefs. The only thing saving the Texans is that they have DeAndre Hopkins running all over the secondary. So I don't know how ESPN keeps getting these Monday night games. I'm not really, I mean, I guess I am complaining because we all have to watch them, but like they're paying however billions amount of dollars to watch Brian Hoyer and Andy Dalton play quarterback. I mean, Dalton would be actually the surprise Pro Bowl guy now that I think about it. So maybe they got half right over there.
I have a fantasy question about this game, and I'm going to ask it to my guest right now. It's now my pleasure to bring in my good friend, Christopher Harris of Harris Football, the Harris Football Podcast. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm psyched.
I'm psyched to have you back, kind of. I've been talking a lot of smack the past couple weeks as my Falcons were doing much better than your Vikings, and it's not that way anymore.
It's really not. It seems like the mirageness of the Falcons has been exposed a little bit, and the little Vikings, you know, they're just, hey, we're tied for first place. They look around and they don't do it themselves.
I think ultimately when all is said and done, these two teams are going to end up with the same record. What do you think?
Just to tease us.
Yes, I think so. Cause I do think that do think the Vikings are overachieving, and I do sort of agree that my boyfriends, listen, you go out and you lose to the 49ers, you're clearly not for real. So I do think there's a little bit of pretender niche. I can't even make that a word. So I'm not going to try, although I did try. I do think the Falcons and the Vikings are both pretending a little bit.
I like the Vikings, man. I still think they got a great shot for the playoffs. I think the Falcons are frauds. I have thought so since the beginning. The Vikings know exactly what they are. They have no pretensions to grandeur. You know, they are a defense team who runs and occasionally throws. And I think that gets you somewhere in the NFL right now.
Hey, you're a fantasy guy. You give out fantasy advice. We've been talking about surprise Pro Bowlers this week on the podcast. Who are some surprise fantasy guys, some guys that sort of stepped up that we didn't expect?
We were talking about the Falcons, right? Devontae Freeman, true. My goodness. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, he 2 weeks ago, he didn't find the end zone. Last week, he didn't do anything but find the end zone. So I think the bloom is coming off the rose a little bit. And I would say the second half, I expect him to slow down a little bit just because he can't be LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, at his size. But, you know, you can easily still make the argument that he's the fantasy MVP. This is a guy who was taken in the, you know, double digit rounds of, for me, obviously by far the biggest surprise in the positive. And then in the negative, just a lot of first rounders who have turned out to, you know, Eddie Lacy is the poster child, but we've got a lot of hurt guys, Jamaal Charles out for the year and Matt Forte missing time. Now he was terrific. I'm sure he's the first rounder. Actually, I thought he should have been. Marshawn Lynch hasn't been all that good. If I'm going to pick surprises, maybe overall I'm a little on the negative as opposed to the positive.
There was a tight end who had a great preseason this year, and I foolishly was telling people I know all about tight ends who have great preseasons, but he seems to have kept it up, and that's Tyler Eifert in Cincinnati. Do we expect him to continue this through the second half of the season?
Well, you know, touchdowns are so tough to predict, and until maybe the past 2-3 weeks, it felt like touchdowns was mostly what Eifert was offering. And now all of a sudden now he's offering, you know, a lot of seam routes and is showing why we liked him so much coming out of college. You know, this is a kid who tested off the charts and, you know, nobody ever expects a rookie tight end to do much for fantasy. But, after that, you hope that the athleticism translates. And with Eifert, you know, just was always hurt, basically missed 2 years. And I don't think that whereas Gary Barnage of the Browns isn't a freak athlete, is kind of just a big lumbering guy, a journeyman, 30 years old. Feels like that's pretty easy to imagine him backsliding because his talent just isn't great. And it's really all about just sort of lucking into red zone touchdowns and one-handed grabs in the middle of the field. Eifert feels like legitimately among the more talented players at his position. You know, you never want to compare anybody to Rob Gronkowski because nobody's that level of completeness. You know, Eifert doesn't really block at all, whereas Gronk is great at it. But as weapons, as where they can be on the field and who they torment on defenses, there's some overlap there. And sure, I think Eifert deserves a place at the table among the top three or four tight ends for the rest of the year.
You know, a couple other surprises that we mentioned on this podcast earlier, Tavon Austin in St. Louis, and a veteran guy who maybe not so much a surprise, but just sort of the reemergence of Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, so yeah, I mean, Fitzgerald, I think all those Cardinals might have a tough one this week against Seattle, but you know, Fitzgerald, fabulous reinvention of himself as a possession receiver, you know, lining up out of the slot a lot. When they're in three wide, he's almost always exclusively in the slot. He's just not going to go down the field, but he's been super reliable. I think Michael Floyd kind of getting healthy and becoming a viable every week threat is bad for both John Brown and Larry Fitzgerald in terms of fantasy. It's good for the Cardinals, no question, but it seems like the lovin' could be spread around a little bit, especially in the red zone on a weekly basis. I still want Fitzgerald over the other two guys probably by a little bit, but I'm probably not going to say Fitzgerald's a top 10 receiver for the rest of the year because of Floyd's emergence. And I'm with you on Tavon Austin. I mean, it's a terrible quarterback situation. You know, Nick Foles can throw the deep ball, and that's just about it. And even then, he's not always accurate. But I love some of the stuff they do with formations. I think Todd Gurley's been good for Tavon Austin. They run a play where I think they ran it five times last week, where it's a jet sweep looking formation. So Tavon Austin is going behind Nick Foles. They snap the ball, and it's kind of a triple option. They can either hand it to Tavon Austin on the jet sweep, hand it to Gurley because everybody's paying attention to Tavon Austin on the jet sweep, or actually play, you know, play action, actually throw the ball. And sometimes out of that formation, they actually throw it to Austin. Now, all of that sounds fancy. You know, the problem you have is volume. You know, you tell me, like five targets and four carries a week. It's just, it doesn't feel like a recipe for every week glory. But as a football player, I'm pretty excited about how they're using them.
Let's go back to the tight ends. I have been fortunate enough to have Rob Gronkowski in quite a few of my leagues. I don't have Tyler Eifert in the leagues. I don't have Gronkowski. And that sort of seems to be one of my problems, is there seems to be Rob Gronkowski, Tyler Eifert, and who else? Who are we supposed to be looking at tight end? How do we play those matchups?
See, I don't really even believe in matchups for tight ends. I think you just play the good guys, and sometimes it's going to work out and sometimes it's not. You know, with Gronk, you sort of expect it to work out every week. Eifert's trending in that direction, but no, I mean, there are going to be weeks where they just don't throw it to him. But my philosophy is that if defenses want to take away a tight end, maybe even Gronk, they can do it with formations. You know, it's a zero-sum game. You can put defensive resources toward anybody you want to put. And if a quarterback sees a safety or a linebacker really sitting over on top of a tight end who's covered man-to-man, well, he's just not going to throw it there. And so all this nonsense, to me, nonsense about what teams are bad against tight ends, I just think it's small sample sizes. Sometimes it's like Kellen Davis scoring a random touchdown, and suddenly that's a bunch of fantasy points that a defense gave up. I'm not a matchup guy when it comes to tight ends. I'd rather just, you know, play the players who've been relatively successful and I know are talented. And that's probably Grolson, Travis Kelce, when he's healthy, Jordan Reed, you know, and then everyone else. You know, I guess Antonio Gates when the Chargers aren't on bye and when he's healthy. But, and then that's maybe it, you know, and everybody else is sort of part of that middle class that's a little bit interchangeable.
I didn't plan on asking this to you, and we can cut this if you don't want to talk about it. But are you saying that it's a game of luck and not a game of skill, Christopher Harris?
Well, no, I think it's sometimes it's skill. I'm just saying I don't really believe in tight end matchups, but I think there's some skill to fantasy as well.
For those who don't understand the joke of the question, the state of New York has ruled that FanDuel and DraftKings and daily fantasy of that nature is actually gambling and not a game of skill, as those sites like to pretend. Now, we are not on this show sponsored by FanDuel, but I do work for a company that has a strong partnership with FanDuel. So that's full disclosure. I personally think fantasy football is a game of skill. But then again, I also like to gamble. So, Chris, you're a fantasy guy.
Right. What I'll say about that, though, is the distinction is a dumb governmental one that, you know, see, you and I don't have a problem with either one of those things, whether it's quote unquote gambling or quote unquote a game of skill. Like, I think poker is a game of skill. Somebody else is going to call that gambling. You know, so for me, from a moral perspective, I just don't care. You know, I just don't draw a distinction. I think it's sort of a nonsense, arbitrary distinction that's done for varying political reasons. I mean, is a state lottery a game of skill? I kind of don't think so, but we're carving out exceptions because, gosh, why? Is because the government itself actually makes millions of dollars from it. So, you know, listen, I will always abide by the law of the land, but I think the distinction is fairly nonsense.
I have one last question for you, Christopher Harris, and it's a personal one. I've got Nate Washington or Marvin Jones this week. Flex.
Yeah, I wish I knew. Right. I wish I knew, you know, exactly what the plan was for Cecil Shorts. You know, I think probably we're going to see both Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington out there, and that probably tips the balance just a little bit to me, to Marvin Jones. I'll tell you how close they are in my ranks. You can find them at harrisfootball.com. Number 41 wide receiver is Marvin Jones. Number 42 is Nate Washington. And number 44 is Cecil Shorts. And if you were going to tell me that Cecil Shorts' hamstrings still aren't quite right and we're not going to see him anything close to full strength, I think Washington vaults pretty highly above Marvin Jones. But, you know, in a two-receiver set, I think if Shorts is healthy, he's probably the one who's out there, which for me caps Washington a little bit.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Chris, you mentioned your website. Where can they find you on Twitter?
At Harris Football. And please do give a follow. It's fun. And we're doing a podcast every single day now. And you can find it on iTunes and anywhere else you find a podcast. It's the Harris Football Podcast. And it's been doing pretty well.
Please do go download and listen to the Christopher Harris Football Podcast, because you're going to learn a lot more about fantasy football than you're going to learn on our show. But we do try. Chris, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Jay. It was awesome.
All right. So that's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank Christopher Harris for joining us. Please do go and download and listen to his podcast. It's fantastic. It's not on Blog Talk Radio, but it wasn't from a lack of trying. But Christopher Harris does a great job. Love Chris. He's great. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today. The insights that you provide have been fantastic, and people should know that you do this for a living, so it sort of helps.
I guess you could say that. I mean, I guess if you call working in your house in your underwear on a computer for a living, then yeah, I guess that's, you could say that.
That was too much information. I'm fully clothed, and I get to work from my house all the time. I'd like to thank Greg for joining us for as long as he was. The chief superfan, Nick, jumping in with us real quick. That was awesome. Hopefully we'll have some more super fan battles for you next week. And then obviously the week after is the week of Thanksgiving. We'll come to you a day early in 2 weeks. We'll see how that goes off without a hitch. Remember, send those super fan applications and your questions. I want to hear from you. I know you're listening. Yes, you right there. I see you. I see you. Type me an email right now. NextFanUp@gmail.com. Tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can check out who all of our super fans picked for the Pro Bowl from their team by going to Facebook.com/NFU Podcast, or just search Next Fan Up on Facebook. It'll come right up and you can see all of those write-ups for Andrew, for Greg, for Nick, and for Christopher Harris. I am merely Pod Vader saying, there you have it. And now, the guy who likes to hurt people while they're out on the field, Jeff Fisher.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.